Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me in the extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day.
Good day, Steve and Pat. We've got so much to share with you in the extra hour. Well, you know, in the end of the first hour, we're talking about healthy eating and processed foods. And I guess that my chocolate cake I had, any nutrition, is chocolate, it's not a vegetable. Is that a vegetable or fruit?
Might be considered a dairy product.
A dairy product.
Somewhere in there.
There's milk in there somewhere.
Dairy. Is there milk somewhere? I'm trying to see how this could work. You know, I'm trying to see how this could work. But listen, it was good for Bill Cosby. He fed it for the kids. Remember when he filled the chocolate cake for the kids?
Did he? I don't remember.
That was chocolate pudding.
Was it chocolate pudding?
I don't know if that's the same
thing. Yeah, it was pudding.
Well, I think he fed them chocolate cake. But
was it made with 0.5% milk or skim milk? Because if it was made with whole milk.
I'm trying to figure that out. But it was interesting when they were talking about on this segment that the companies know exactly what they're doing. I mean, it's not the company's fault. They make it, you buy it, you eat it. You know, they're not forcing
you. They didn't force it down your throat.
They're not forcing you to eat it. But the pictures look so good. And when you taste them. But you think about it, you're eating all this food, and if all this food is processed and there is no nutritional value, you got to go back and wonder, why am I so tired? Why am I so lethargic?
Right.
You know, I ate food. Well, I should be full, and I'm not. Well, what did you eat? Well, 2 bags of chips and
and a Coke.
And a Coke. and one of them burgers. And, you know, that one of those fast food burgers, can't mention any names, one of those fast food burgers, my understanding is that they don't decompose. They just kind of stay there forever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen video of a burger left out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I was single, I had pizza that stayed out for a while. I've tried that theory in the refrigerator, and believe it or not, microwave works wonders.
Yeah,
I mean,
telling you.
You throw that thing.
It's going to look dry and crusty, throw it in the microwave, man, it's good as new.
Man, good as new. Good as new. My wife typically throws those pizzas out now. I would still say those are good. Those are good, but she, not a pizza fan.
Not having it, huh?
Not a pizza fan. But it's important. It's important that we know, and I'm glad that we share this segment because I need to know it. You need to know it. Because if we want to continue to do what God's called us to do, it's important what we eat. I mean, not all of us can eat as healthy as Pat. We do need to follow that example, though. Share with us some of the things that you're eating, Pat, some of the things that you have incorporated into your diet. And know that we have the luxury, Chris, of watching him.
Mm-hmm.
Is it tuna, a salmon? What is it that he eats every day that we have to see that? What is that, Chris?
Would that be tuna?
Tuna sandwich.
Well, Pat, why don't you go ahead and talk to us?
Is it rice cake?
Don't you have, like, nobody cares
cakes?
About my diet.
Well, we do now.
I just, you know, I'm taking your advice. I've been watching you closely.
Oh, watching me.
I've eliminated all the processed
foods. Oh, yeah. You would have had chocolate cake if you were watching
me. I quit eating all the diet chips. I don't eat any of the sweets anymore. I just cut out all the sugar and all the junk that was making me plump. Lazy, lethargic, lack of energy, and I changed it up.
Now you changed. Now you did you completely cut out the sugars?
Also, well, maybe not 100%, but anything that has, I don't add sugar to stuff. Put it that way. You know, I don't even drink sweet tea anymore. You know, there's sugar in a lot of foods. I mean, you can't cut it all out. That's almost impossible. But you know, I don't intentionally go for it anymore. But
But you've done well because we joke and kid around and having a good time, but I mean, you've done really good with your diet because I see this physical change.
Mm-hmm.
But I also see that you're sticking with it and just the type of stuff. It's amazing. I mean, one of the things that you were talking to us one day about was just even bread. I mean, you can get a wheat bread and a different kind of calories of bread, but you don't realize mm-hmm. that bread has tons. So many calories in it. And if eat like processed bread, it has like zero, it's a filler. It's mm-hmm. like nothing, no value at all. Like there's nothing in it.
Yeah, big time.
But you can have wheat bread.
Mm-hmm.
And they have low-calorie wheat bread. Right. It's actually good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a lot of protein in it. Yeah. The kind that I eat, anyway.
And they have multi-grain bread, too. Well,
there's different kinds.
Yeah.
You got to look at the ingredients. I've become an expert in ingredients. I read every label now. It's ridiculous.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. We don't want to go that far. We don't want to go that far. But it's good wisdom because, I mean, at some point, you actually do have to read what in the world you're putting in your mouth. I mean, you got to see it.
I've been shocked by some of the things. Unbelievable. It's crazy.
What's also helpful, too, is what they said is just like a good rule of thumb is also to shop on the perimeter. Granted, it has a lower shelf life, but mm-hmm. it's also nutritional. That's where you're going to find your fruits, your vegetables. You've got your meats in the back, your poultry, as well as also then your dairy and your eggs, and then your juices on the side for the most part. And on the inside, like the middle of the grocery store, that's where you have your processed food, your boxes, where everything is just kind of like created and made.
You spend a lot of time in the grocery store, don't you?
It's amazing what you learn in a health class, and you're like, wow, that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's helpful too, because initially when I first did that, I was like, wow, my grocery bill got a little bit more expensive. But at the same mm-hmm. time too, when you look at the fact that like I have more energy, it's easier to wake up in the morning. Mm-hmm. I can do my responsibilities throughout the day and not be just like, you can be in the middle of the day and all of a sudden like I'm just on fumes right now. I have no energy mm-hmm. because that was helpful for me. Especially, in the military and in college, when you're just active, I used to look at food, just, what tastes good. And then there was that moment where it's just like food needs to be like energy. Mm-hmm. You think about it for your car.
Yeah, eat on purpose. Fuel.
Exactly.
Think about it. They always say, you are what you eat. Mm-hmm. So if you're continually eating junk and garbage and you wonder why you feel like
feel good.
Junk and garbage.
Yeah.
Let's keep this encouraging, okay? Let's keep this right now. Let's keep this encouraging. For me and Chris, I mean, no, I'm just
kidding. Yeah, I'm real encouraged. This is helping.
I just got tired of feeling bad.
Exactly.
And then when I look in the mirror, I got tired of looking bad. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, listen, it gets to a point where the belt gets a little too tight and you can't notch any more holes. I mean, you can't make the belt any...
And I can't afford to buy any more clothes. It's like, come on.
It's amazing what health costs. And you think about how mm-hmm. how much your diet is affected by what you eat and mm-hmm. what you eat and what you didn't eat. And you realize, are you kidding me? All I had to do was cut back from this and cut back from that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, folks become diabetic. I mean, diabetic seventh leading cause of death.
And
you think of all the sugar,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And all the sugar that's given to children. It's one reason why they're bouncing off the walls,
Exactly.
You bring them down, especially mm-hmm. not in the evening. That's not a good idea. Or mm-hmm. when you're about to board a plane, don't give your child a Coca-Cola before you're about to board a plane.
Or lots of caffeine.
It's going to be a serious ride. But this is good because we're getting wisdom. We're going to follow closely what Pat is doing. Maybe we can track this for us, maybe on the torch somehow. We can give us something that we can look at, and so we can have the shapeness and the healthy part of what he's got going on. But he's got some really great wisdom and tips,
mm-hmm.
and I've learned a lot today, and I hope you have too, because we need this. I mean, at the mm-hmm. end of the day, you want to be able to be fit, full of energy, full of life, and ready, mm-hmm. like you were saying, Steve, to advance, to move forward,
Amen.
And not be, oh my goodness, I can't move, or having food constantly on your mind. That's the other thing. I mean, it's food constantly on our mind. It's amazing. I mean,
it can become an idol.
Sure can. Do you think, it's become an idol in America. You think about it. It's like mm-hmm. every commercial, it's around the clock, it's like, mm-hmm. there's food, get this food away from me.
All right, right.
But we can be in charge of it instead of it being in charge of us.
Well, just like you're saying, it's just like, when we have to advance going through the day, Paul says, that we run the race. And just like you think about the fact that, God has given us the word, he's entrusted with us the word, and being able to carry that out and advance the gospel and just minister to other people. If we're going out and in the work day or wherever we are, we don't have the energy to it. You know, that's not being fruitful for the kingdom, or that's not just giving us the ability to help other people when we're sitting on the couch, or, you know, I need another 2 hours of sleep, or however it might be.
Mm-hmm.
So it just helps us when we are healthier that we can do more.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we want to hear a testimony by Wayne Simeon. He was a former NBA player for the Miami Heat championship team. And I want to hear his personal testimony. It's actually so exciting and greatly encouraging. Listen up.
I can remember one particular moment that I think really brought me to a low point. We just finished winning, a big game, big nationally televised game. I played well. The team had played well. And I can remember being out celebrating afterwards. I can remember having some random guy, didn't know who he was, coming up to me, and he basically said, "Man, Wayne, I wish I had your life." I remember as soon as he said that, it was literally like I got punched in the face. On the inside, he really didn't know what was going on. He didn't really understand the gravity and the magnitude of the unfulfillment that I had in my heart. Started out just as a young boy, with a carefree attitude, who was gifted with some athletic ability and who just really enjoyed to play sports. Just began to excel at basketball, and you know, that's when things kind of changed. I began to receive some notoriety because of my athletic ability to win some awards, and what was once just something that I did for fun then turned into something that became a selfish ambition to receive, you know, more glory from other people and from the things that I could attain from it. Just as I began to excel and to achieve my dreams, whether it was in terms of championships, in terms of going to the university that I'd always dreamed of, playing at the University of Kansas, winning conference championships there and going to Final Fours, having a future in the NBA, having access to drugs and alcohol and girls. Basically, during that time, I had everything that the world said should make you happy as a 20-year-old college athlete. But yet, because I was so performance-driven, because I was so worried about what other people thought about me and wanted to gain their approval, that at the first sign of any conflict, any struggle, whether it was a loss, whether it was a poor performance, whether it was an injury, whether it was public ridicule in the papers or by fans, emotionally I would just be crushed. Just remember crying out to God for Him to show me someone or something. Lord, show me something that's truly worth giving my life to. A few weeks later, I would run into some Christians. They shared with me the gospel in a dynamic way. They told me about Jesus Christ and the things that He had done with His life. They shared with me how He died for the forgiveness of my sins and that He had a purpose and a plan for my life. And that's something that I'd never heard before. You know, that God had something for me to do here on earth. I gave my life to the Lord in July 12, 2003, and my life was completely transformed from the inside out. I had played for myself and played for the applause of the crowd for so long that I really had no idea how to compete outside of that. And God had to show me how to do that. He showed me that I could compete and that I could play for His glory, that I could compete and play and live as an act of worship to Him for what He had done. And when that became the motivation of why I stepped on that court, that's where the freedom came, to where it didn't matter if I scored 30 points or if I didn't score any points at all, that if the posture of my heart, if the posture of how I lived, if the motivation for why I did things was to glorify and honor God, that I knew at the end of the day He would be pleased with me. As that became the motivation of why I played, those were the two best years of my career. I became an All-American, Big 12 Player of the Year, and because of the freedom that came from playing and competing for Jesus. When I first walked into the locker room, there was a lot of skepticism. They heard that I was a Christian, and their comments were, "This won't last long." It was really intimidating. I can even remember a few of the guys on the side literally taking cash money bets on me with how long it would take me to fall. You know, as time went on, as my rookie year had passed, then I had remained firm in my faith and began to have the opportunities to share with my teammates in the NBA locker room and how Jesus had transformed my life. That's when I began to start to feel their support. They began to pull for me. It was amazing the lesson that I learned from that. It's not necessarily the championship ring, celebrating with champagne in the locker room, parade in the city, hoisting the championship trophy, but it was seeing how quickly that glory would fade. Moving on to the next year, as the team struggled, swept out of the playoffs, and I can remember the Lord bringing a scripture verse to mind after that championship. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, "The man in all his glory are like the flowers in the grass of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but it's only the word and the will of God that stands forever." Seeing how that eternal truth had matched up directly with the experience of winning that championship, it's really when the Word of God and His will became something that I wanted to completely pursue. And it's really something that led me to step away from professional basketball and to be a part of something that's not only going to influence and change my life, but have the influence to change the lives of so many people around me. And not just for a moment's time, but for eternity. It's a great feeling in knowing who you were made to be and to know what you were made to live for. My name is Wayne Simeon, and I am second.
What a powerful testimony. It's Wayne Simeon, former NBA World Championship member of the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Yeah, it's powerful.
It's amazing. So many times we think that we're going through struggles or going through, things that we're all alone.
Mm-hmm.
But, Wayne Simeon shows that it's, everybody's the same.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone puts on pants the same. Everyone does everything, puts on clothes
one
the same.
One leg at a time.
One leg at a time. And he found out that it wasn't about him. Sometimes with a talent or a gifting, we can believe that we are the gift or we are the talent. Well, no matter what it is we do, whether it's education, we're smart, or you're a good worker, you're a great athlete. If you've been blessed with even good looks or things of that, what the world would say good looks and stuff like that. I mean, all that attention, all that glory for yourself, it becomes to be self-focused and just prideful. And just in his particular case, man, he was always concerned with what people were thinking, because it fed into that, you know, superstar and athlete. That's a rocky road, but this just doesn't have to happen to an athlete. It happens to anybody.
Right.
Right.
You know, I'm amazed that you have to be so grounded, especially, you know, you look at the athletics and college at a young age and stuff like that. It makes kind of Tim Tebow an amazing young man, you know, playing in Florida, just with all that type of pressure. You have 30,000 young people out there. And it's just important. It's important that we recognize whose glory we're living for.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the statement he said, you got to know what you're created for. You got to know what you're created for and for whom you were created for. That this life is not about us doing what we want to do and about the world liking us. You know, today they're saying, they have surveys that are saying that children today, what they want is to be famous. They don't want the house, they don't, you know, the careers or whatever. They're wanting to be famous. And it's not even famous for famous for any reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have this instant YouTube stuff where kids are just putting all sorts of videos. I mean, the big thing now is just trying to get recognized, getting someone to look at me or to get clicks or likes or comments, and they'll do anything for that attention. When you realize that God loves you, God has a plan for your life, and his eyes are upon you, you start realizing that I don't need anyone else's eyes upon me. You know, God is looking at me. He's watching me, and I have his love. I have his affection. I have his guidance, and that's enough. That's enough. I don't need the approval of men. And before the end of the extra hour, we're going to talk about the fear of the Lord and the fear of man. Because the fear of man will cause you to seek man's approval. And if you keep seeking man's approval, that means you're not seeking God's approval. And it's so important when we see a story like this with Wayne Seaman. You know, he's retired NBA now.
Mm-hmm.
He has his own ministry where he's sharing the gospel and helping people. And that's what it's all about. You got to recognize we only pass through this life one time.
One time.
And the Bible says that life is a vapor.
Right.
You know, we got to settle it in our heart. Who are we living for? Is it about us? Or is it really all about him? And he had to come to the end of himself. Maybe you're at a situation today where you're realizing, maybe it's all always been about me. Maybe that's why I'm suffering the way I'm suffering and going through the things that I'm going through. And things don't ever work out because it's always about my glory. Let me tell you something. You can change that around today. You can change it all today by reaching out to Jesus Christ and accepting him as your Lord and Savior. Listen, he's your best friend. Do what Wayne did. Wayne realized that it wasn't about the money, it wasn't about the fame, it wasn't about the popularity, it wasn't that his name was in a newspaper or on the internet, or that he was an NBA champion with a ring.
Mm-hmm.
It meant nothing if he didn't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Life has no meaning outside of God.
Mm-hmm.
It has zero meaning. You ask most people today, why do you work? And they'll say, to pay bills. It's just like the Dunkin' Donuts commercial. Time to make the donuts. Mm-hmm. And you get up every morning, you go through the routine, you pay bills, you hope that everything's okay. Maybe you can take a 1 week vacation, 2 week vacation, hope nothing major happens, and just kind of live for the moment to satisfy you. There's more to life to that. There's more to life to that. You can know God. You can walk with him. You can experience his forgiveness, his love, and not just have a blessed time on this earth, but have the great expectation and the great hope for living for eternity with him. Make that decision today. Give your heart to Jesus. He'll change your world forever.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Every kind of media is literally at your children's fingertips. For Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Focus President Jim Daly talked about this matter and its repercussions with Gabe Lyons.
But we do have to teach as parents our kids how to consume things in a way that's not over the top.
Yeah, with our children, Jim, one of the things we just implemented in the new year was, we have a 12-year-old, 10-year-old, and 7-year-old, two boys and a little girl. And we realized how much technology was starting to become, you know, our Band-Aid for if mom and I needed to talk, give them a phone. And realizing in this discussion about the shaping of the imagination of our kids, We have to realize what we're doing. We're damaging in a lot of ways their imagination. If we just put entertainment in front of them, it starts to cripple that imagination. You'll hear more insights from Gabe Lyons about faith and culture today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
We have a great way for your VFN Radio listeners to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
I want to encourage you. You know, if you feel like you had a call on your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, you just want to walk with God, you know, you want to be close to Him, you want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. You know, it's so important to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, you know, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important, but then you have to learn His ways. He says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning His ways will end up following some ways that are not His ways, and eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFNU.org. It's Find Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God. And also, join us at the VFN family, you know, VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But it's a VFNU for VFN University, VFNU.org.
Oh my goodness. John, have you been listening to the daily VFN radio program?
You know I have.
Oh man, such good content. Hey, are you on Facebook?
Of course.
Wow. You've got to check out the VFN TV page on Facebook.com. And if you haven't, you check it out. You can go on Facebook.com/VFN TV. You know, when you're listening to the radio program and you're listening to a segment that's just, you know, speaking to you, and you know that, you know, there's friends that's really going to encourage them, you can click share. And those friends who are all your friends who you're connected with on Facebook, they'll immediately get what you share.
Wow, that's awesome. It's a great way to continue to spread the word, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. Check it out. Facebook.com/VFN TV.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve.
Dude, put down that sandwich.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I'm a little hungry here, I had to take a little break here. I noticed that during the break, did you guys see this little contraption here?
What is that? That's so cute. It's got a little handle on it.
Yeah, if you're wondering what this is.
Is that a...
What's that brown liquid inside of it?
What is that?
Well, we started asking some questions here.
Is it a sippy cup?
We asked some questions here. And we're trying to wonder whose drink this is. I mean,
Is that Maya's?
Did you
bring that from home?
No, this is not my daughter's cup. Oh, okay. This is... Now, I brought water. I mean, I know you don't drink. I mean, Pat, you don't drink any dark substances at all. You don't drink soda or anything. So I know this couldn't be yours.
No.
That's light color.
Yeah. Mine's more transparent.
And Steve didn't bring anything to drink here today. And I guess maybe.
Maybe.
Chris, is this your blue little cute handle thing? What is that, huh? What is in this little, I don't know what to call this, jug cup?
Is that apple juice?
Is this apple juice or is this a foreign controlled substance like sweet tea?
That's a foreign controlled substance. No, right now that's probably a science project
because
it's been here for a couple of days.
It's been here for what did it start out as, Chris?
It was tea.
Tea. We understand
Not just tea.
Okay.
What kind of tea? Sweet tea?
Sweet tea, yeah.
With sugar?
Sweet
sugar. Sweet tea.
Interesting.
That's part of your new regimen?
Interesting. Well, I've noticed that this is the little one, but if you look further back,
we'll
back,
make this available on the torch. Oh, we'll make sure you see these.
Oh, please.
There is a monstrosity. I don't know what you call that jug.
It's around here somewhere.
Who does it remind you of, though?
Is that like Psy?
You're right. Just like Psy.
Yeah, just like Psy. Chris, you can be famous too, you know. If that's what you
Well, as long as we're going to be showing monstrosities, we can look at your container of salad
salad. That's in right. Less. That's right. Salad.
Industrial size.
Mm-hmm. Industrial size salad. Yeah.
Well, you know,
it's not
Chris,
a little bowl. It's not a little container.
Chris, I'm trying to eat healthy, okay? Pat is rubbing off on me. And I thought he was rubbing
a whole head of lettuce over there.
Well, listen, hey, what you know? I trying to cut out the chips. I mean, you got me eating these cracker chip things here that are they're like wafers with air.
Yeah,
okay. I'm eating the salad, and
this is good. This is good.
Pat's rubbing off on me, but I thought he was rubbing off on you, you know, and I thought we were walking this together. But
I only did eat one piece of
He fell off the wagon.
Did he?
He fell off.
Not three.
Well, they were little cubes.
He fell off of it and then rolled down the hill and just
Is that what happened? Well, I opened the refrigerator.
Roll down the hill. Roll down the hill.
You only had three pieces?
I opened the refrigerator. What is this? This is illegal. Is this dark substance. I mean, I've got my water here clear. You know, I'm ready.
What's funny is you tried to pull it away so that we could recognize it, and just opening the refrigerator, Chris knew it wasn't there because it took up the whole refrigerator.
Yeah.
Interesting, Chris. That's all I have to say. I just wanted to get that out in the open. I just wanted let that be known.
I'm glad it's out there. Hopefully. I feel much better now. I feel better now that it's out.
All right. Hopefully tomorrow we'll see some water. Water.
Yeah. Clear water.
Clear water.
Well, you know, we've been sharing on the fear of the Lord from time to time on VFN Radio. And Pat, I know you've been reading John Bevere's book on the fear of the Lord.
Powerful, powerful.
Powerful book, and you've been sharing on that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been reading a book on the fear of the Lord, actually, by Joy Dawson. And it's called Intimate Friendship with God Through the Understanding of the Fear of the Lord. And in chapter 3, she talks about release from the fear of man.
Mm.
And that's so important today. So important, because we need to understand that if we're going to fear God, we can't fear man at the same time.
Right.
And that doesn't work. You know, was it John Bevere who said,
you can't fear man and fear God at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about you serve what you fear.
Right.
That's so powerful, because it's so true. Proverbs 29:25 says the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. You see, the fear of man is a trap. It's a snare.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed to get you all locked up, all trapped up, where you'll be following man's approval and man's opinions versus God, the only opinion that actually really matters. And in this book she says, the fear of the Lord is the only way to be released from the fear of man. And she goes on to say that the fear of man is being more impressed with man's reactions to our actions than with God's reaction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to repeat that again.
Wow, that's good.
The fear of man is being more impressed with man's reaction to our actions than with God's reactions. That's so important, because you can be living a life that's always doing like, you know, a test.
Mm-hmm.
If I say this, if I say that, you know, will I be liked? Will I be accepted? Is this acceptable? You know, how's this going to come across? And it's a constant measuring.
Mm-hmm. Constantly wanting man's approval.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you keep living for that, then what will happen is that you will definitely compromise your walk with the Lord, because you're setting man's opinions way far above what God has to say.
Mm-hmm.
She goes on to say that when we have the fear of God upon us, we are impressed only with God's reaction. We are freed from the concern of what people think, and that's real freedom. And you look at a time right now that, my goodness, I mean, certain things are just not popular. I mean, listen, there's nothing wrong with being liked and wanting to have a relationship and have friends. And you know, who wants enemies? Nobody wants enemies, right. Mm-hmm. You know? But it's amazing that if you do sometimes what God wants you to do and say what God wants you to say and stand for what God wants you to stand, that's not always going to be popular. And that might not make you the most popular person in your particular crowd, but you got to make that determination. Do you want to be popular or powerful? Do you want to be liked by man, or do you want to be liked by God? And do you want man's approval, or do you want God's approval?
Right.
And one of the things that she says, that you can ask the question, you know, when you're actually making a decision or something that you have to do, and you're like, okay, you know, I know that God, I know what people are saying. That's what she says. You can say this, or think this out loud, or pray this. You know, I've heard what they think. Basically, it's praying to God. I heard what they think, God. But what do you think?
Mm.
What do you think? I mean, oftentimes, I think people try to live lives totally independent apart from God. I'm talking about believers. They just go on and they don't even ask God the question, what do you think about this? I mean, I know what people are saying. I know what would be the politically correct. I know what the quote-unquote expectation would be. Mm-hmm. I know what people would want me to say about a time mm-hmm. like this. But yeah. What do you have to say, God? What's on your heart? What mm-hmm. what does your word say? And then acting, she says, according to his revealed opinion. And when God says whatever he says, you obey it. Mm-hmm. Whatever God says. I say, you know what? It just doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. Because you're going to fall into a trap. We're talking about how we can live a life that's more God-conscious than really self-conscious. Because mm-hmm. the fear of man is really not so much a man consciousness as it is a self-consciousness. Mm-hmm. It's all about the preservation of self. It's all about, you know, being liked, well-received, having favor, and how you show up in a particular situation as opposed to how God shows up. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm amazed at how some people are comfortable and being in a place or in a situation or an environment that Jesus would run from. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, wait a second here. How, if we're going to walk with God and he's our best friend and the lover of our soul, we want to do things that honor him and mm-hmm. and respect him and show him that, you know what, God, we fear you in our life. We don't have compartmental living. And this chapter is so important because you will serve what you fear.
That's right.
You can't serve God. Mm-hmm. You can't serve God.
It makes me think about Saul. Mm. In his life, and the downfall of his, I mean, it was, he had such a fear of man mm-hmm. that he cared nothing about what God thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, everything he did, it was always in the eyes of man. I mean, God would tell him to do something and then, you know, he'd do part of it, but then not all of it.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. he was so fearful and he wanted to please the guys that was with him at the time.
Yeah.
In so many different situations and then it was his downfall because he ended up losing the kingdom,
yeah,
you know, and dying, you know, miserable death. It was terrible.
But when you think about it, fear of man is such an important thing. When Saul was actually even called, when he was called to be the first king of Israel, and they brought all these people out, he was hiding, hiding amongst the luggage.
That was a sign right there.
I mean, that, catch a clue. He was rattling, shaking in his boots. And because of that thing was never dealt with. Talking about spiritual vagabond yesterday. Now think about this now. We're connecting the dots here. But because that was never dealt with in his life. Mm. And you may run from situations. You may run from a correction or a truth or something that God wants to remove in your life. Listen, if something is surfacing, God, you know, reveals it so that he can heal it. It's because it's going to be a stumbling block to you. And guess what? Probably to others.
Mm-hmm.
And Saul had this fear from day one. day one, shaking in his boots amongst the luggage.
Right.
And he becomes king, and then he forgot where he came from.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about being in a position, and you can start, maybe you got the job, maybe you got promoted, and now you got the job.
Mm.
Now, God blessed you now. Mm. God opened the door for you.
Yeah.
You've asked, you know, people to pray, and they prayed, and, you know, you need to take the test, or you needed to do good on the interview, or you needed to, you know, put your best foot forward, whatever the scenario is. It so many different ways. But the end result is, let me tell you, God opened the door and you got a job and, hey, it happened. But now that you've been on the job and now they're recognizing how good you're doing and that you're fruitful and faithful, and all of a sudden it's like you're liking that praise, you're liking that encouragement, and now you start compromising your walk with God, you start changing,
mm-hmm.
you know, what God is trying to do in your life. I mean, all of a sudden now it's like, well, I don't know if I can come to the gathering on Sunday, you know, because I may have to work. What? You know what I'm saying? You may have to what? It's like, didn't God open that opportunity for you?
Didn't God give you that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's a diss. That's a disrespect to God, because mm-hmm. let me tell you something. If God gave it to you, God can do anything he wants. God mm-hmm. can. The Bible says that God holds the heart of the king in his hand. And he could direct it like a water course, mm-hmm. whichever way he wishes. And you don't have to fear your boss or your supervisor or losing your job. You can, with faith, approach your supervisor, you know, and honor and say, listen, I'm going to need this day off. Can you work with me?
Mm-hmm.
And can you work with me? But if you fear him and you want his approval more than God's approval, you won't even mention it.
Mm-mm.
You won't even ask for the time off. You're going to be like, well, okay.
Yeah.
Because I got to have
afraid
this.
You're going to lose the very thing mm-hmm. that God gave you.
You're right. Going to lose.
And guess what ends up happening?
You end up losing it.
Prophecy comes to pass.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're gonna lose what you couldn't even get on your own. How is that possible?
Mm.
If God gave it to you, I think God is the one who's going to be the one able to keep you. It reminds me of Jeroboam. I mean, he's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't even have these kingdoms, bro. I mean, God hooked you up here. You know what I'm saying?
Gave like, it to you.
What is your deal? And that's the thing we have to remember. We have to remember that when God blesses us, he's going to be the one that's going to be able to keep us. And, you know, he didn't bring us to a destination to drop us off and say, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's our responsibility to stay dependent upon him, to stay humble, to stay low, and to watch what he's going to do
mm-hmm.
and say, no matter what, I'm not going to fear, you know, man's approval. I'm going to stay with God all the way through. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue this. And we're talking about fear of man versus the fear of the Lord. I'm telling you, fear of the Lord's better.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Go to VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio. You're listening to this. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you,
mm-hmm.
but he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. But I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is that you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet
received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope, and God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFNTV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're talking about the fear of man versus the fear of the Lord. And we're talking about Saul. I mean, Saul, right from the beginning of King Saul, chosen to be the first king of Israel. I mean, think about that. I mean, Paul was looking to find his father's donkeys. I mean, no plan whatsoever. Saul. And all of a sudden, on this journey, he gets to be chosen to be king.
Yeah.
I mean, chosen. Right. Chosen. Of all the men of Israel, Saul gets tapped by God. And all of a sudden, you would think that God taps you. That would be like, you know, God, I love you. You're saying, I am the king of Israel now. This is an honor. Whatever you say, whatever. But something happened in Saul's life, that he had fear. I mean, he was called, you know, called out. He was hiding amongst the luggage, and they brought him out, and they anointed him. But then later on, you see in his life, different decisions he was making as king, that he feared the people that he was called to lead. Now, strange, but he wanted their approval. Here, he's the leader, and he's the king. He's the authority figure. And yet, he's the one that's fearing their approval. And in one such account in the Bible, I mean, Samuel was supposed to offer the sacrifice. Samuel was supposed to offer the sacrifice. And they're waiting now. There's a battle about to happen.
Right.
And Saul's men, they're you know, getting loud now. They're saying, hey, you know, what's going on here? They're going to be killed. And, you know. What is, we're going to have a sacrifice, and, you know, what's the deal here? But they're getting antsy, and I'm paraphrasing. And Saul is practically wringing his hands behind the curtain. What are we going to do? The people are getting upset.
Right.
The soldiers are getting upset. And it's oftentimes how it works. You know, maybe you're in leadership, or you've got something to do, and there's somebody that's just, you know, like a gnat or something around you, trying to stir you up. And if you don't lead, you're going to let them lead you. And Saul, he didn't lead. Fear was gripping him because he cared about the approval of his men. He didn't want them to desert him. It's like, dude, were you trusting in these men or were you trusting in God? I mean, what happened at some point? Certain point, your trust just shifted. And it went straight towards this man, this army, what you guys were able to do, as opposed to what God was going to do. And so finally, Saul gets hasty and says, okay, give them lambs, give me whatever, and throw them on this fire, and let's sacrifice. And just about, you know, as he was doing this, Samuel walks up.
Yeah.
Dude, what are you doing?
I told you to wait.
Yeah. What are you doing? Because he started functioning in a place that he had no authority to function.
Right. That's right.
He went beyond his realm of authority, and because of fear, let me tell you something, fear will make you do some crazy things. Fear will make you do some crazy. It's like a gateway drug. It opens up the doors to all kinds of just lying and controlling and just doing stuff that you're not supposed to be doing.
Right.
All kinds of sins because of fear. And in this case, he feared man. Sam was like, look, you're completely out of line. You don't have any authority to do that before God. You're supposed to wait. And the truth of the matter is, because you didn't wait, now God's going to deal with you. And so Samuel continues to share some more important things with Saul. But I want to focus on Saul's comments. Saul's comments after he gets rebuked from Samuel. I mean, enough of a rebuke that would have sent probably most humble people to the ground and be like, oh my goodness, what have I done? You know, Saul's saying, would you come out with me so that the men, you know, would honor me? And I'm like, what is going on here?
It's like he doesn't get it. He just does not get it.
He's blinded.
Well, that's what happens when you start fearing man and you totally disregard God's ways. That veil of deception just gets thicker and thicker and thicker to the point you just can't see anymore.
Right.
I mean, you can't see.
You have a veiled, blind mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is such a scary thing, to be in a place where your mind is veiled. You can't literally see. And the things that you think you're seeing, that you think are right, are actually dead wrong. That's what deception is. Deception is that what you think you're doing is right is absolutely 100% dead wrong.
Yeah.
But you don't know. That's why it's so important to have a relationship with people that love you, that know God, that walk with God, so that if they see that you're walking over the cliff, they can say, you're walking over the cliff.
Yeah.
Watch out. Now, do you want them to do that politely or gently or whisper? Or do you want them to get your attention and say, you're about to fall over the cliff, dude, or push you out if they have to? Well, Joy continues to write, and she says, when there is pressure from men's opinions, weigh each decision in the light of judgment seat of Christ. Where each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you're feeling this pressure, Saul, you need to weigh this thing at the end of the day. How is this going to look out when this is all over before God? How is this going to pan out? Because in reality, we're going to have to account for every word that was spoken and everything we did while we lived here on this earth. She goes on to say, then it's not hard to obey God in a difficult situation. It cost us so much more when we fear men and not God. Think about that. The cost is so much more for disobedience than it ever is for obedience. And the enemy has twisted that in many people's minds to think that, man, I can't do this, you know, or this is challenging, or as if it's an option. But your disobedience has a higher price, Jonah, than your obedience of going to Nineveh. Hello. Big price.
Yeah.
Which one do you want to pay? But regardless of the price, you just want to be in the right place with God. We want to encourage you that if you want to enjoy intimacy with the Lord, if you want God to be your friend, I mean, that's the highest end. Today, people seem to be, you know, love titles and, you know, give themselves their own title. But I tell you, if you want to be anything in God, you know, the highest place that you can be is his friend. He tells his friends his secrets. Just be a friend of God. But if you want friendship with him, you're going to need to fear him. You're going to need to learn how to approach him and to honor him and to keep him at the center of your life. Without that, it's just not going to go well. I mean, Saul found that at the end of it all, the saddest thing about Saul is that God was at the end said, I repent that I ever made him king. I mean, that is tragic. This is his story. And he didn't get it. He didn't get it. He had David in there. He had his son, Jonathan. I mean, there's so many opportunities there for that to turn around. It could have been such a different ending for him. One thing I have found out as I read God's word is that God is writing a story. I mean, listen, the story moves on with or without us. And we can either cooperate on what God's intended purpose is for our life, or we can, you know, be wrote off here of the scene.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure That was not God's plan or intention for Saul's life.
Mm-mm.
But he didn't cooperate with the author. When you don't cooperate with God, it just doesn't end well. And there's always somebody else that the Lord will use and call and use in his kingdom. We don't want to be written off by God. Mm-hmm. We don't want to fall, you know, on the wayside because we were not obedient to what God wanted us to do, because mm-hmm. we didn't want to face the fact that, you know, we wanted to obey God. Listen, fear of the Lord, not man. We need to be more impressed with God's reactions to our actions than we are with men's reactions to our actions.
That's right.
Well, you know, as we come to the end of the extra hour, we do want to share with you the top three on the torch, 1,800 posts on the torch. And I want to share today's top three. The first one I want to share is God's way of family. And this highlight we share because of selfishness and convenience, many are aborting children today. We've been talking about this on VFN for a while. And you're looking at it today that, listen, there is an order for having family. There is a way that God prescribes in his word that we are supposed to be together, live together, act together. And if we operate outside of that, it's not going to go well for us. Today's families are under attack. They're dysfunctional. So many different things are happening. And you got to ask yourself, where is God in the middle of that? If you can't find God, that's a clue. Listen, God has a way of family, but we're not going to find that way outside of his word. The second one highlight we want to share with you is that it's titled, It Starts With Me, and all of these can be found on the torch. And this is where we talk about hope and change for America. And if we're going to see change occur in this country, if we're going to see change occur in our land, it's going to have to start with God's people.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have to start when God's people respond to him, 2 Chronicles 7:14. But you know, that's such a large group. The truth of the matter is that if you're a Christian, you are part of God's people.
That's right.
You need to step on forward and say, you know what? It starts with me. It starts with me. And you be the first one to start the chain of repentance. You start to be the first one to turn your heart towards God and watch what happens. I look at what Pastor Decker did in Delaware. It took one man to go out there and say, you know what? I'm just going to stand for truth. I'm going to go out there. 1,500 people followed him. Amen. What will happen in the kingdom of God when you say, you know what? I'm not going to tolerate this anymore in my own life, and I am going to turn my heart 100% with God. It starts with me. And the last one I want to share with you, BFN Torch, top three is don't close your jaw when it comes to expressing love. This is a wisdom moment, and the wisdom moment was found in Proverbs 27:5 says, better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Listen, take time today to open your mouth and tell somebody how much you love them, that they're doing a good job. You know, bless them with your words. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And if you don't speak life and you don't tell someone, how will they ever know? Don't take it for granted. Tell that person you love them.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.